The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive.
Today we're going on a really foundational journey. We're heading back to the very start of Western historical thought.
We are. We're diving into the works of Herodotus, and our guide is the fantastic scholarship of Jennifer T. Roberts.
And the mission here is to tackle this this huge paradox that hangs over him.
It really is. Everyone knows him as the father of history, right?
Hmm.
But for centuries, he's also been stuck with this other nickname, the father of lies.
Yeah.
And what Roberts argues, and argues so compellingly, is that he was actually this incredibly sophisticated critical thinker. His methods are, well, they're more essential today than ever.
And that's really why this matters right now, isn't it? The difference between just being a storyteller and being a truly rigorous thinker.
Exactly. In a world just flooded with information and, you know, competing stories, Roberts shows us that Herodotus didn't just write down what happened. He actually invented the method of critical investigation.
He created historia. Inquiry.
It's the blueprint, really. The blueprint for anyone trying to figure out what's real and what's not.
It's that commitment to asking why, to gathering evidence instead of just, you know, repeating what you've been told. We're going to unpack how Roberts shows he was less of an ancient gossip and more like the world's first true investigative journalist.
So let's start with our guide. Who is Jennifer T. Roberts? Why is she the right person to rescue Herodotus's reputation?
Well, Roberts is a real powerhouse in classical studies. She's a distinguished classicist, a historian, a professor of classics and history at CUNY.
And her focus is 5th century Athens, right? Things like Athens on trial.
Precisely. And that's key. It means she's not looking at Herodotus in a vacuum. She places him right in the middle of this incredible intellectual revolution that was happening in the Greek world.
The Ionian Enlightenment.
That's the one. That massive shift where thinkers started trusting, you know, human reason and what they could see with their own eyes over the old myths about the gods.
So instead of asking which god did what, they started asking how and why.
Yes. And Roberts is brilliant at connecting all of Herodotus's seemingly random threads. The history, the geography, the anthropology, and showing how they're all held together by that same rational spirit.
So she's really bridging the gap for us. She's taking this specialized academic view and making it clear not just what he wrote, but how he thought and why that thinking was so, so radical back then.
That's exactly.
Okay, let's get into the book's central premise then. It's essentially an intellectual biography, right? Designed to walk a modern reader through the histories.
It is. And its main goal is to just completely dismantle that simplistic father of lies caricature that's followed him around for millennia.
So what's the core argument?
The core of it is that the histories is so much more than just a chronicle of the Persian Wars. It's a systematic, complex, almost philosophical investigation into human nature, into power, into why we fight.
So the war is the frame, but the real picture is inside.
Yes. The real brilliance, the historia he talks about, is in what people often see as the digressions, these detailed sections he calls the logoi.
I think we need to pause on just how radical that was. I mean, if the people before him were just reciting myths or, you know, listing the lineage of kings, what was the huge leap he made?
The leap was applying rational inquiry, that whole Ionian tradition, to human events. You know, Homer gives us myth and poetry.
Right.
Herodotus gives us evidence and causality. He takes history out of the realm of the gods and the poets and puts it firmly into the world of human analysis and observation. He's not just recording, he's questioning.
He literally moved history from the temple into the marketplace.
And that jump, that philosophical leap, is why Robert says he's still such a foundational thinker for us.
Okay, let's zoom in on that grand project, starting with Herodotus the man. Roberts makes a big deal about where he was from, Halicarnassus.
She does, because it was a mixed Greek city, but it was under Persian influence.
Which gave him an edge.
A huge edge. Roberts calls it a crucial insider-outsider perspective. He wasn't just looking at the Persians as, you know, some faceless enemy. He understood their culture, their politics, in a way his contemporaries just didn't.
Which is the first step for any real investigator impartiality.
And then there's his research method. It sounds so much like modern fieldwork. His travels to Egypt, to Scythia. These weren't holidays.
He was collecting data.
Totally.
Yeah.
Actively gathering two kinds of evidence. He had his oral testimonies, the logoi, which were the stories he got from interviews, and then opsis, the things he saw with his own eyes.
And he lays it all out for you right from the start. Roberts points to his mission statement in the opening lines.
It's so clear. He says his goal is not just to remember great deeds, but, and this is the key part, to explain the reason why they fought one another.
He's defining Historia as investigation or inquiry.
He's showing his work, which leads us right into his role as, well, a pioneering anthropologist.
Those famous digressions.
Yes, the Logoi. That's where he spends huge amounts of time just describing foreign cultures, the Egyptians, the Scythians. He had this genuine, systematic curiosity about the world.
And from that, we get his most famous line, custom, nomos, is king of all. Must have been a shocking thing to say back then.
It's a foundational statement of cultural relativism. He saw that what's sacred in one place could be horrifying in another, but he treated those customs with respect.
And Roberts argues he used them as a mirror.
A mirror, no. Exactly. By looking at the strange customs of, say, Egypt, the Greeks could better understand their own nomos and maybe even critique it.
That's fascinating. But underneath all this cultural description, Roberts finds a deeper, almost moral structure, the tragic vision, she calls it.
Yeah, Herodotus saw history as having this rhythm, almost like a Greek tragedy. It's a pattern. Huge power leads to arrogance or hubris.
Which leads to folly, 8.
And that inevitably brings on divine retribution, nemesis.
And the classic story he uses to set this whole theme up is the one about Croesus and Solon.
It really sets the tone for the whole book. King Croesus of Lydia, he's the richest man in the world. He's incredibly powerful. And the wise Athenian Solon comes to visit.
And Croesus basically asks, so who's the happiest guy you've ever met? Expecting the answer to be him.
Of course. But Solon names a couple of ordinary guys who lived good lives and died well. And he tells this furious king, call no man happy until he is dead. Fortune is just too unstable.
Croesus ignores him, gets arrogant, and of course he's eventually crushed by the Persians.
It's a timeless warning. And the ultimate example of this hubris in the whole text is Xerxes, the Persian king who invades Greece.
Oh, absolutely.
Here's a mortal man literally trying to challenge nature. He tries to whip the sea into submission after a storm wrecks his bridge.
And he digs a canal through Mount Athos just to show he can.
Roberts uses that to show Xerxes saw himself as being above the natural order of things. And that kind of unchecked ambition for Herodotus is why he was always destined to fail.
So that moral vision frames the whole conflict as an ideological war. It's not just about territory.
No, not at all. It was a clash of fundamental ideals. It was Greek Eleutheria freedom under the rule of law against Persian dunamis.
Which is?
The submission to the will of a single all-powerful man. Despotism.
And we see that analysis most clearly in the famous debate on constitutions, which is weirdly set among Persian noblemen.
It's such a brilliant device. And by putting this debate, the first we know of in Western literature comparing monarchy, oligarchy, and democracy in the mouths of Persians, Herodotus could explore these ideas without looking like he was just shilling for Athens to a wider Greek audience.
A Greek thought experiment in Persian dress.
Pretty much. And the takeaway, as Roberts points out, is that the Greeks, for all their bickering amongst themselves, were free men fighting for their laws. That gave them a resilience that a conscripted army serving one guy could just never match.
Okay, let's face the big one. The father of lies charge. How does Roberts defend his actual historical method?
She defends him by putting him in context. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was working with oral sources. There were no archives to check. He knew his sources were contradictory, but he saw it as his duty to preserve those accounts, those logois, before they were lost forever.
But he didn't just blindly repeat them. He had a critical method. The famous line, I am bound to report what I am told, but I am not in the least bound to believe it.
That is the soul of historical rigor, isn't it?
Yeah.
He presents you with the conflicting stories, and then he often signals his own skepticism. He'll say something like, the Egyptians claim this, but I find it unconvincing.
He's inviting the reader into the process of judgment with him. That's the opposite of lying.
It's transparency.
But what about all the gods and dreams and oracles? Doesn't that undermine his rationalism?
Roberts makes a great point here. He recorded those things because the people he was writing about believed in them. Their beliefs influenced their decisions. If Xerxes genuinely thought a dream told him to invade Greece, well, that belief is a historical fact, a human motivation.
Ah, so it becomes part of the human causality.
Exactly. But his final analysis, his ultimate explanation, always comes back to human things. Ambition, revenge, greed, fear. Not the gods pulling strings.
That is a brilliant synthesis, respecting the culture while still applying a rational framework.
It really is.
Okay, so let's try to distill this. Pulling together Roberts' analysis, what are the biggest takeaways for us today? Let's start with the idea of Historia as an active investigation.
This is his enduring gift, I think. Herodotus shows us that history isn't static. It's a process. You have to ask questions, you have to weigh evidence.
And the modern lesson there is pretty obvious.
It is. We have to reject simple answers and apply that same critical investigative eye to all the information that comes at us every day.
Second big theme, cultural relativism, that idea that custom is king.
So essential for our world. I mean, it's a call for empathy. Before you judge another society, you first have to try to understand it on its own terms. He was basically teaching comparative anthropology 2,500 years ago.
And finally, that moral and political warning, the instability of power and the danger of hubris.
It's a lesson for any leader in any field. The stories of Croesus and Xerxes show that power is fragile. Unchecked ambition, surrounding yourself with people who only say yes, it leads to disaster. Humility is a requirement for long-term success.
Robert's book gives us some really punchy ways to think about this. Let's talk about a few of the core ideas that really redefine Herodotus for me. First, she says, Herodotus invented history by inventing the historian.
I love that. It's not just about the subject, it's about creating the role itself. The role of this systematic investigator who's committed to a process, not just a conclusion.
And on his structure, those famous digressions, Robert says the famous digressions are not flaws in his narrative, but the very heart of his historia.
Because they're the evidence. They show that you can't separate history from culture, from geography, from politics. To understand the war, you have to understand the world it happened in.
Then there's the methodological shift. Inquiry replaced authority as the basis for understanding the past.
That's the revolution in a nutshell. It's the move from just accepting a story because it's old, to demanding evidence and actually doing the hard work of investigation.
And finally, on the ideological sash, Roberts frames it so clearly. The war was between the freedom under law that defines the Greek polis and the submission to a single man's will that defines the Persian Empire.
A framing of conflict that feels, well, strikingly relevant today.
The real power here is how directly Herodotus's methods can be applied to modern life. I mean, his whole approach of presenting conflicting accounts feels like a masterclass in media literacy.
It absolutely is. When you read or watch the news, you have to have that Herodotean mindset. You know, ask, who's telling this story? What's their motivation? Are there other versions of this event? We have to get comfortable with ambiguity.
And those stories of Croesus and Xerxes, they're just such practical lessons in leadership humility. Recognizing your limits isn't weakness. It's essential for any kind of sustained success.
100%. And even on a bigger scale, his framework for looking at conflict, you know, balancing the immediate triggers with the deep cultural and historical causes, it's still the gold standard for how to analyze international relations. Conflict is never simple.
So this deep dive, for me, completely rehabilitates Herodotus. The histories isn't just a collection of rambling stories. It's this deep philosophical investigation that basically founded history, anthropology, and political science all at once.
I agree. Roberts proves his profound relevance. His true legacy is his method. It's that unwavering commitment to open-minded inquiry and an honest admission that things are complex and uncertain. And that's a spirit I think that we all desperately need more of right now.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.